Rabbi Yaakov Menken. He is the executive vice president of the Coalition for Jewish Values. He's coming up along with my good friend Paul Teller, talk about some things. And I want to start with the implosion of the ceasefire in Gaza. 24, it's estimated, we don't know how many, maybe 25 or so Israeli hostages still alive. Many of them have been killed. They didn't release them. And now there's no more ceasefire. And now Netanyahu says he's going to bring hell down. He's also talking about taking out Iranian nuclear facilities. This war escalating. There was a retaliation in the middle of the week into Lebanon, I believe. Rabbi, just give us an update. When is this thing going to end? How is it going to end? A lot of people don't like Netanyahu, what he's doing. A lot of core Jewish constituents don't like him. I have a couple friends of mine very high up in the Jewish community saying that he's secular, that he doesn't even believe in God. Give me some of your comments on that, Rabbi.
Well, there's a lot of things you can complain about Netanyahu, but none of that is related to the war against Hamas or how he conducts it. Your original question, first of all, thank you for, as always, for having us, Paul and me, to talk about these issues. We really appreciate it. And it is very important. What we're looking at is a situation where, you know, your real question was, what's going to make this conflict end? What brings this to an end? This will not end until Hamas is eradicated. This will not end until Iran stops sponsoring terror groups. You may get a temporary ceasefire. You may get things to pause for a while. But when people say, oh, we need a ceasefire now, that's great. You're just kicking the can down the road. You're just waiting for Hamas to rearm and do it again. Because Hamas has said very openly, we're going to rearm, we're going to do it again, and we're going to keep doing it again until we've killed all the Jews, until we implement Hitler's final solution. If you don't believe Hitler's final solution is a good thing, then you want Hamas eradicated, because Hamas will keep going until they implement it. That's their purpose. So you've got to get rid of Hamas, and then there can actually be peace. Until then, everything else is just kicking the can down the road.
But then, I mean, there's another organization that'll come in. I mean, I just don't see when you say eradicate them, when you like eradicate the government, eradicate their army. You can't kill all the Palestinians. Half of them are harboring. They voted for these people. So, I mean, it's getting frustrating, Paul Teller.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Echo the rabbi's comments and also his comment that, you know, appreciate you having us on each week. Great honor to be with you. Yeah. And you're right to say that obviously Hamas is the most, you know, geographically close threat. But let's throw in, you know, Islamic Jihad, the Houthis over in Yemen. They're a direct threat to Israel, Hezbollah across the border in Lebanon. And of course, just, you know, the great Satan itself is the Iranian regime, not the Iranian people, right? Most of them are actually pro-Israel in a lot of ways. If you just talk to Joe Persian person, but the Iranian regime just has to be taken out. They have to surrender. We've got to just keep going in that direction. And so you're right to say that, you know, you kill some people and they'll be replaced with other groups either close by or further away. So yeah, it's almost like wiping out not only the head of the octopus, if you will, but the will to do it, right? We've got to make them realize you do this and you lose, you know, Mr. Iranian regime, Mr. Terrorists around the region. You do this, you die, your family dies, and you lose.
Paul, is Netanyahu the right guy to lead this?
Yeah, we would say so. We feel like he's a great ally of the United States, that he's, you know, a great wartime leader. Obviously, there's certain domestic political concerns there in Israel that, you know, we just try to stay out of. But yeah, just from the, you know, advancing American freedom perspective here in D.C., we feel great. And I think the rabbi would agree. Most in our kind of pro-Israel Jewish community and just pro-Israel community in general seems to still be on Netanyahu's side.
Where are the Democrat Jews here, Rabbi?
That's a whole different problem. you know, you've got everything from, you know, there's sadly groups on the Jewish left. There's even a group called, you know, Jewish Voice for Peace. Peace is a Jewish value. It's been a Jewish value for 3,000 years. And for this group to claim only they know the way to peace is like they just exist to slander the rest of the Jewish community. You have people who are maybe not that far gone, but who insist that there should be no consequences for Gazan civilians when they allowed Hamas to build their tunnels underneath them. Remember, I mean, Hamas built their tunnels underneath hospitals and mosques and civilian residences for a reason. And that reason is because they know that anti-Semites around the world will blame the Jews, a.k.a. Israel, for the consequences of this Hamas war crime. Hamas is building its stuff underneath people's houses because they want those people to get killed, because they know that Israel will then be blamed for what Hamas has done. Now, so don't fall into that kind of racist nonsense world. America has to understand, including, yes, America's leftist Jews, that when Hamas does evil and the consequence of the evil that they do is that people are going to die in order to neutralize those terrorists before they kill more innocent Israelis, that's very sad. They have to disarm. They have to release the hostages. We can have peace tomorrow. All Hamas has to do is say we're going home. And remember, yep, afterwards, to your point about the rest of Gazan civilians, just the same way Germany had to go through a denazification, there has to be a denazification of Gaza and in the whole Palestinian Authority territory. They are naming schools after terrorists and educating children to want to go martyr themselves by blowing up Israelis when they grow up. That's not a way to have peace, and that's got to change. And if you're not calling for a change in that, you don't actually want peace. You just want more people on the Jewish side to die.
Paul?
Yeah, 100% agree, as always. It's right. It has to do with destroying their will to try to re-up the fight, because that's the thing, right? That's what's not getting reported too much, is that, you know, Israel has gone back into Gaza, you know, not for fun, right? Yeah, because, oh, gee, what the heck? But literally they got credible evidence and intelligence, I think with American help, that Gaza was rearming and they were getting ready to invade again. Can you imagine another October 7th? And so rather than kind of sit around, wait for that to happen, let's see what happens, let's cut it off at the pass. So that's why they're going in. And I hate to say it, but even some of our friends in the American media, Fox News Channel, I saw over the weekend, were unfortunately replaying some of the Palestinian propaganda, you know, running footage of, you know, crying Palestinians over, you know, bodies in bags. Well, first of all, you don't know who those people are or how they were killed. And second of all, as we've said many times on your radio show, we do know that the Palestinians deliberately put civilians in harm's way. That's part of their war fighting method, so that they get public opinion on their side and weaken the pro-Israel stance. So it's a shame that some folks are falling for the trap again.
The IDF, what is their morale now that you guys have heard?
120%. I mean, there's just no, they all understand there's no alternative here. The idea that there's something else they could do, there's somewhere else they could go. See, this is a classic rule of the anti-Semite. The Jews don't belong wherever they are. When they're in Europe, they're told go back to Israel. When they're in Israel, they're told go back to Europe. Doesn't matter. By the way, most of the Israeli Jews, people don't know this, most Israeli Jews were ethnically cleansed out of Arab countries. Yep. They were not subjected to the genocide of the Nazis. They were just expelled from the countries in which they live. So this idea that Israelis don't belong in the Middle East, these are Middle Eastern Jews. This is the ethnic cleansing that went on in all the other countries in the Arab Middle East, every Arab state. That even if it ever had a Jewish population, today it doesn't have 5% of the Jews it had in 1948.
Right.
Because they got angry at the Jews, and the Jews have somewhere to flee. Now they want to expel them from Israel? That's racism. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we're even seeing it on a daily basis. Anytime there's new homes and schools and shopping centers built in Judea and Samaria, the ancient Jewish homelands, part of Israel today, you know, you get this outcry, oh, my God, another Israeli settlement, right? They always use that word settlement to make it seem like it's foreign and not proper and, you know, like kind of on top of something else or whatever. I mean, it's that exact same anti-Semitism that Jews can't even build communities in their own ancient homeland. I mean, just unreal.
Paul is absolutely right here. A Jew adding a porch to the side of his house is a threat to peace in the Middle East. If you listen to what they're saying, if you listen to what Palestinian Authority says, that guy is a threat to peace. Because how dare he live there? We must have not only do they have to have a Palestinian state, which they already have, it's called Jordan, but not only do they have to have another Palestinian state, but it has to be Judenrein. Gosh, what does that tell you?
You're on the John Schroeder's Media Network, Truck and the Truth. We are with Paul Teller, expert on Israel and the Middle East, been with me many, many, many years, and also with Rabbi Yaakov Menken, the executive vice president of the Coalition of Jewish Values. So, I mean, here we are again. Now, Witkoff, who was Trump's peace envoy, I guess, was trying to negotiate something. He's now pulled away. He's in Saudi Arabia negotiating an end to the Russo-Ukraine war, starting with a ceasefire. So he's no longer, he pulled out of the negotiations with trying to get a ceasefire with the Muslims. I don't know what a ceasefire really accomplishes for Israel. I mean, I'm not a military expert, but just a layman from the outside, all it seems to do is give Hamas the opportunity to regroup, retool, get more ammo in, get more money in from one of their sponsors. I mean, I don't think it does anything. I mean, it's good to stop the killing, but I mean, the difference between the ceasefire in the Ukraine-Russo war is that it's supposed to lead to permanent peace. But what does this what does this ceasefire do in Israel other than get the hostages back, which is all they've got? So I was always thinking to myself, they're never going to release all the hostages, because if they do that, they then get wiped out. So I don't even know what the plan is here. Tell me where tell me, Paul, what I've missed.
No, you're 100% right. We've been questioning that same thing here, that, you know, a lot of people, especially in the American left, are equating ceasefire with peace. And sure, you could say, you know, minute to minute, if there's not bombs and missiles coming in, there's peace, but not really, right? Like the underlying, you know, hatred, anti-Semitism, frankly, preparation for war from, you know, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, the Iranian assets there, is ongoing. You're exactly right. That, in fact, that's what we saw. That's what Netanyahu, you know, showed the world, was that the most recent ceasefire, yes, got a few hostages out, but not many, not all of them alive, by the way. And it even got declarations of some that were dead, and they still don't have the bodies. So they're like literally holding dead bodies hostages, which are amazing. But it also allowed Hamas and other groups to rearm, rebuild, make plans for another invasion into Israel. So I agree with you. I think ceasefire has to be done only after surrender. Like, you surrender first, and then we'll stop firing at you. And I think that's kind of what's happening.
Let me add that's, you know, listen to what Paul said here, because it's absolutely on point, and you have to look at where Hamas is. As I said earlier, if you're talking about a ceasefire now without Hamas disarming, without releasing the hostages, in fact, they've been holding dead hostages since October 7th. This is not actually, it's not like a new thing they just invented 3 weeks ago in this latest hostage release. They've been holding dead bodies. Actually, they've been holding dead bodies for years. This isn't like a new thing at all for the barbarians of Hamas. And if you leave them at all functional, you're just kicking the can down the road. As Paul said, what the Israelis saw was that Hamas was rearming, and Hamas was prepared to go do another October 7th if they were permitted to rearm. And that's why this ceasefire came to an end. Every time the Israelis end the ceasefire because they see the other side arming for war, immediately the left will immediately blame Israel. That's a joke. That's not serious. You have to understand, Hamas is a terror organization. They aim to kill civilians. They're going to go do it. If you have a ceasefire which leaves them functional, you're letting them go do it. That's what's called kicking the can down the road. That's why, you know, we have to be united behind this idea that Hamas needs to be eradicated now and Gaza needs to be totally denazified if it is to continue to exist as it did.
So when are you going to take the position that you need to just strafe bomb them getting out of those tunnels, and as a result, there's going to be considerable innocent Palestinian carnage? I mean, you drop the leaflets and you say, we're going to bomb you, get out, and you don't get out, and you bomb them, and you wipe out Hamas and tremendous innocent life with you. That's horrible. But I guess, I mean, if you send a message that says, you know, you got 36 hours to get out of there, and then you don't get out of there, I mean, I don't really know what choice Israel has. I mean, this just can't go on.
Yeah, I mean, they just have a much different respect for life in the Palestinian culture. It's just something that we can't understand, right? We in the West, this kind of Judeo-Christian understanding of life, because I think what we're seeing, there's been evidence that, you know, yeah, Israel drops the leaflets or otherwise communicates, hey, get out of this area, and then the Palestinians will bring people into those areas, deliberately saying, oh, no, then that's our signal that civilians need to go into the, you know, the hospitals that are on top of weapons depots, or, you know, the playgrounds that are on top of tunnels where they're holding hostages. And then, of course, Israel has to do what it needs to do in any wartime situation. As you said, some civilians are unfortunately, you know, secondary casualties, but that's what gets broadcast all over the world. And, oh, my God, and Israel is so terrible. And it's really unfortunate that so many folks, even on our side, are falling into that trap. We just have to
see, because
keep
reminding
folks what they're doing.
You're not fighting a war. You're fighting the politics of it and the public opinion of it. That's why it's so difficult. I mean, I was thinking back over the weekend when you guys were coming on about, you know, studying history of various wars we had. You didn't, other than the Civil War, which is a kind of the same as what's going on now in our country, where newspapers and PR played a big role in what they did. You know, nobody in the invasion of Normandy was worried about, like, what the New York Times said. We were just planning a victory.
That's right.
That's nobody right. went. That's when right. when the West, Truman the West decided to drop those crash. Bombs, you know, he didn't call up ABC to see what their analysis would be. I mean, he just decided, I don't want to lose a million men, which is what the estimates were. I'm going to lose a million men. I'm just going to end this thing, and I'm going to instead eliminate and kill, what, 300,000 innocent Japanese in lieu of 100 million American men. I mean, he just made that decision, good, bad, or ugly, however you want.
Right, without warning. Without warning.
Without warning. There were no, and there were, they didn't drop any leaflets and say, get out of here. We're dropping an an atomic bomb in 60 seconds. You're going to burn to death. They didn't drop any flyers. So I just don't know where it is. And then the criticism that Netanyahu was getting from inside Israel, there's so many people mad at him. I don't know what they expect the guy to do.
They don't understand. The West doesn't understand. We could fall for the Western media that everybody looks at these things the same. I want to reinforce what Paul said earlier about, you know, a totally different culture. There was a woman, an Arab woman, Gazan resident, interviewed on TV 2 days ago. She said, all my four children are dead. You know what she wants? She was proud. She was happy. She had wanted them to die martyring themselves. They went up to be with Allah. Isn't that wonderful that they got themselves killed? Judaism has a culture of valuing peace. Islam has a culture of valuing jihad. Until we admit that these things are true, and a bunch of money and education is not going to fix that problem, we're going to continue having the problem.
I have nothing to say to that. That's we're going to end on that.
Great point,
Paul. Rabbi, thank you. Very tough situation. Every week we'll have you on. I think it's going to get better. It doesn't. But I appreciate you guys' analysis. I mean, we have to keep covering this. Very sad, but that's a very interesting story. You can't, I mean, you can't defeat people who value their children dying I mean, you can't, there's no peace. I mean, there's no negotiation. I mean, I'm going to let my child die and be happy. How the hell do you negotiate with these people? They're bat crap crazy.
That's right.
They want to kill you. They want to kill Jews. My kids are dead, killing Jews. Therefore, I'm happy.
Yes.
Crazy.
In a word, yes.
Crazy.